Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 10th of February, recording at an early 4:45 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's 4:45 p.m. Okay, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, just a quick review of the week. The word that most applies, I would say, is convulsive. We've seen some convulsive activity in stock markets, some stock markets. It could be a sign of the beginning of a topping out process for the 34-month-old technical rally. Now, we could also say that let me take them in sequence, as I usually do. Government bond markets have steadied up. That may be partly, with the exception being Japanese government bonds, more on that in a moment. The strength elsewhere may well indicate some concern over stock markets. Strength in other government bonds, other than JGBs, I mean. And the US dollar, it's continued to edge higher in here. In precious metals and industrial metals, definitely some convulsive activity in the last few days, and there's a message in that as well. Okay, let's go back to the big picture themes overall. First, I maintain that the global rally, the bull run that we have seen, excellent bull run from the March 2003 lows, now 34 months old, is very long in the tooth and showing some signs of stress. And these are not game, set, and match in the sense that they're not conclusive, but I've seen enough in terms of choppy action, loss of momentum, Wall Street, some of Wall Street's indices violating the January reaction lows, albeit not by much, and not extending those moves yet. Overall, general bullishness that we've seen in markets for quite some time, some accelerations that we had seen previously, and some leading indices, some downside Kitty reversals, all the things that I've talked about recently. Have a good look, I would say, at the global stock market indices in the chart library over the weekend if you have the inclination and particularly the time to do so. Because I'll go back to what I said at the beginning, I think we're probably seeing the beginning of a topping out process. And I have described in earlier audios this week that I thought it would probably be fairly, I said that I thought that the global rally would end not with a bang, but with a whimper. In other words, we'd get some choppy activity here, a little bit of a trading war between the bulls and the bears. But supply and demand basically falling back into balance, leading to some choppy ranging, and then the correction that I have long talked about, which I think is, if we see it, we'll see most of it in the second and third quarters of this year, and that would create an excellent, excellent buying opportunity for the resources and the emerging markets that have done us so well over the last nearly 3 years. Now, how to actually play it in here? Well, carefully, I would say. I have one speculative equity position now, one trading equity position in my accounts. And that's the Inco, which I repurchased yesterday, and that was a timing mistake, at least in the very short term, and probably the medium term as well. When we get to terminal market junctures, and I suspect this is one, there will be a period where, however well one has done previously, one will look foolish on a few trades before the penny drops, and we see the message. And the message basically is that an environment that was quite easy for making money has suddenly become much more difficult. Now, I've written a lot about this in comment of the day today. Well, a lot for me, and under a feature I think called risk awareness and behavioral aspects of risk awareness. That will be posted before much longer by Owen. Now, getting back to these stock markets, say I've only got one speculative equity position, so I have raised cash mainly by taking cash out of my trading account and just saving it up for this buying opportunity that I expect later on in the year, following what I suspect will be a medium-term correction. If we don't get the medium-term correction, of course, nothing's guaranteed in markets. It again will be because of all the liquidity sloshing around in the system. But we could quite easily see that liquidity contract temporarily for reasons that have nothing to do with central bank activity. Let me give you one example. We have the yen carry trade. As you know, that's by borrowing yen because it had no yield, as many hedge funds have done, and then using that money to finance long positions in, well, you name it, in global stock markets, in resources markets, gold and silver, all sorts of things, even bonds to, well, maybe to a considerable extent, I was going to say to a certain extent. Now, if the yen starts to strengthen, and there's some evidence of that, have a look at the trade-weighted indices. They're now in the chart library overall, and are a wonderful new a wonderful new addition to the library that Owen has been working feverishly on in recent days. But a strengthening yen causing some of those people to close down some very, very substantial positions would, in my view. Sorry, my phone's just ringing, and I was handing that over to Owen. But a partial winding down of that yen carry trade would remove some liquidity from the market, and people would close down some of the positions that they were using that liquidity to finance some of their leveraged trades. Also, if other investors become cautious, then they begin to raise cash. So it creates the effect of a bit of a temporary liquidity contraction, as or it, certainly it slows down the volatility with which money is sloshing around the system. So I think that's the environment that we actually face in here, and the risks are definitely increasing. There are times in markets when it's relatively easy to make money, and there are times in markets where it's extremely well, it's less easy, if not extremely difficult, to make money. You get a choppy, ranging phase, and then downtrends emerge after long runs on the upside, and the downtrends offer some good speculative opportunities for those who are inclined to sell short, and the rest of us will sit tight. I have some shorts in stock market futures. They're not doing anything for me at the moment, but that was just an opening volley here, just wanting to partially hedge my investment positions, which are mainly in resources, stocks and funds, and also in Asian funds, particularly Asian emerging market funds. Now, I do expect to see some portfolio contraction and a valuation contraction in those investment positions, but those are for the very long term. I don't like to disturb them very often. I'm really much more inclined to ride out a downturn and in the investment portfolio and hedge positions. But that's a personal choice. Not everybody's going to agree with that. And I'll be focused more on, say, playing the hedge short positions if we do get that correction, and then in adding to some of my favorite positions and seeing what else is around that might look attractive in terms of the long-term investment themes. And by the way, I haven't completed my review of the long-term investment themes, that subject to timing, and I'll continue with that next week. So the big message that I really do want to hammer home in this audio is that after a good 34-month run and a particularly useful money-making period during November, December, and January, and into the beginning of February, that I think things are becoming much, much more tricky. And I would rather err on the side of being too cautious than being some starry-eyed optimist, because I'm not liking the early warning clues that I'm beginning to see on charts. And that's not just stock markets, but let me move on to one of my favorite sectors, metals. And I was impressed yesterday by the rebounds that we were seeing in precious metals, and wrote them all up. Well, I can tell you that every one of those upward moves that we saw yesterday has been reversed in here today and more, which is really a very negative signal, because you know we had the initial downward dynamics off the highs. I think that was last Tuesday, and that was a potentially quite important signal. Then these precious metals fell down to initial support levels and then bounced quite well yesterday, but I emphasize again that those bounces have been more than wiped out by big downward moves in here. So really effectively what we saw yesterday was a series of bull traps. And then what raises eyebrows again here is the fact that a number of the industrial metals, which are quite strong yesterday, nickel was one of them, is at the moment sitting on an even bigger decline in here today. So in other words, a countermanding short-term downward dynamic. Now, I want to emphasize that I really do like these markets for the very long term, but I did mention yesterday that some of them were due for medium-term corrective phases, and that process may well be beginning. The far more risky of the industrial metals, where they would not be nickel, which I maintain is in a is in the latter stages of a long consolidation, and will eventually break out of this big ranging pattern that you can see on the weekly charts and the point and figure charts on the upside. But markets such as I think zinc in particular, also copper and lead, have just streaked ahead and accelerated and are quite overextended. And while I do remain bullish for the long term, repeat that point, I do think that they have gone too far now and are showing ending characteristics, and quite likely we're moving into a medium-term corrective phase, similar to what we have been seeing in crude oil, for instance. And the crude oil medium-term correction continues in here. So a lot of these high-performing markets are getting well-deserved breathers, and we may see, I expect to see, increasingly choppy two-way action and a partial retracement of some of those very, very excellent gains. Will I be selling short in those markets? No, I won't, because I don't like to, although one could with a pistol at my head, yes, I would. But in the global internet, well, in the international beauty contest, as I've described it, what looks most promising and what looks safest, I'm less happy about. I would be less happy shorting within what I maintain as a secular bull market, shorting for a medium-term correction, than I would be in shorting one of the cyclical moves in what I do not regard as a secular bull market, and thus, for instance, a short position in the S&P 500 index. It's had a good bull run for 34 months. Everyone knows that. Well, not such a brilliant bull run last year. At the beginning of this year, looking tired. So I'll play that for a downward move. I'd rather short that than some of the commodities that I would be more interested in just seeing a reaction and then buying them again once they have seen those reactions. And I think that covers most of the bases here, but I'm just going to finish with what I started and say that there are times when it is relatively easy to make money. All you have to be there and to be willing to enter the market. And there are other times when it's extremely difficult to make money and it's far easier to lose money. And the cleverest people start to look foolish in those environments if they do too much, if they're overcommitted. I suspect, and we are in that transition phase where we're moving from one of those temporarily optimum periods into one of the more risky periods, and I aim to scale down accordingly because at this stage I'm going to place a higher premium on preservation of capital than I am on gunning for profits in here. That's it, folks. Have a splendid weekend. Oh, I didn't cover the dollar. Let me just cover the US dollar briefly. I would say that I think the dollar is in what is likely to be a overall ranging top formation. And I think probably of the various different countries around the world that the US administration would be keener to get its currency down than many others right now. Although that's there are other contenders in that department, but I suspect certainly with the US economy slowing, if the stock market starts to weaken, that will influence what Ben Bernanke does and the rest of the Fed do regarding interest rates. And I think they will want to see a softer dollar against the background of a weakening economy, and they can easily achieve it. You just print a lot more of the stuff and then start signaling that you're not going to be raising interest rates all that much more. Among the stronger currencies, I still haven't completed my review of the phenomenal additions to the chart library that Owen has undertaken. But some of the Asian currencies, and we've long known the story about the Asian governments intervening very actively in the forex markets to keep their currencies down to maintain their export competitiveness. But from time to time, some of them step back from that for a while, and that does create opportunities. For instance, if you look at the Singapore dollar right now, that's a pretty firm currency. Look at it against something like the euro, for instance. So I want to explore that area more, particularly looking at some of the long-term charts, the point and figure charts, and the weekly candlestick charts for perspective, and we'll be commenting more on that sector in coming weeks. Again, that's it. All the best. Have a splendid weekend.